FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome in to the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're talking about the city of Murfreesboro. And if you have any questions dealing with the city of Murfreesboro, this is your chance to talk to our city manager. Rob Lyons is with us this morning. Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I think everybody on everybody's mind today is Hurricane Sandy. People have friends, families that are in the impacted area, and that impacted area is quite large. We heard this morning that crews from the Murfreesboro Electric Department are already there. They left here on Saturday so they could be in the general area, sort of a safe area, prior to the storm hitting, and it looks as if the predictions were right on target. It was a deadly storm.
I heard Governor Christie from New Jersey say there's 1 million more people without power in this storm compared to Isabella a year ago. So the crews from Murfreesboro Electric and other electric companies around the country who have helped out is certainly welcome.
And that hits home for you because you're from New Jersey, aren't you?
Born and raised, Bart. I've got a brother in Holmdel, New Jersey, which is about 15 miles from the Atlantic Ocean, and my mom's near Trent, New Jersey, and that's 50 miles inland, and both of them have lost power, so it's, the storm's been pretty tough.
Wow. The whole state, just about all of the area in there is without power right now.
Yeah.
Now, wasn't New Jersey one of the areas where there was a leader who came along after the governor made the warning to get out of the area, to evacuate? Didn't somebody say, well, let's wait and see? Or something like, and then it became too late mm-hmm. to leave.
Yeah, well, they were heeding warnings to the residents to evacuate because if they failed to evacuate, they were afraid they would not be able to come in and get them. And if they did, they were going to put the emergency responders at risk, and that wasn't fair to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they were certainly encouraging folks to get out of there because the storm was going to be very strong.
Everybody seems to want to wait, and we can hunker down at home, but. With a hurricane, now here in this area, we see tornadoes, and you don't have that warning period. With the hurricane, they can tell you at least a day sometimes in advance.
They really are different kinds of emergencies. I grew up in areas that had hurricanes in New Jersey, and I lived in Norfolk, Virginia, and worked in South Florida. And dealing with an emergency when I worked in West Palm Beach where we had a major hurricane, I think it was Hugo, that was threatening South Florida, you do have 2 and 3 days advance notice the opportunity to evacuate. When I came here and started to have to learn how to deal with an emergency involving a tornado, they're so much more sudden. And while you know bad weather may be coming, you certainly don't have the same kind of advance notice.
Brian Toll from the Heart of Tennessee chapter of the Red Cross was here this morning, and he said, of course, volunteers are needed. They're putting together volunteers to go there and help with whatever needs there might be. In addition to the volunteers, they also need financial gifts because the volunteers need supplies. The people up there need supplies. And so you can go over to the Red Cross and make your contributions there as well today.
Red Cross is a fantastic agency. They continue to do great things in emergencies and help folks, and I know we saw that here. Brian's a good man.
So as you look at the situation in New Jersey and in New York and Maryland and all of that area around Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, that was all impacted heavily by not only the water, but it's hard to imagine snow. I mean, you got double pounding in some of these areas.
Yeah, it they predicted this to be the strongest storm to hit New Jersey in 100 years. So certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Very definitely. Well, let's look at home now and talk a little about Murfreesboro. And things are improving dramatically as far as the economy goes.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing the signs of rebound. There was some great news earlier this month where Rutherford County was named the third fastest growing job market in the country. As I look at our building permits are continuing to go up. So companies like Amazon investing here and bringing new jobs to the community. We're continuing to see positive signs here in Middle Tennessee, which is excellent and welcome news.
Do you feel that as far as the unemployment count goes, that in the very near future we will be at or below what it was prior to the downfall in the economy?
Yeah, it's been trending in the right direction, and that is certainly a good reflection on Middle Tennessee. You know, this area seems to be a little bit more recession-proof. We've got the ability to come out of recessions more quickly than other parts of the country, and I think that talks about the great workforce we have here. It talks about the good business climate we have here. So all positive signs.
Obviously, Nissan, with their change to the electric vehicle and the manufacturing of that, that's going to bring even more jobs. It is bringing even more jobs. Just, I guess, last week, 800 and something more jobs online there. NHK with the seating, which go in the cars. And then now Amazon, so many more opportunities here. Mm-hmm. And third fastest in the nation as far as job growth. Mm-hmm. That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
That has to sort of catch the attention of other folks who are wanting to bring in every type of business imaginable to serve these people.
I think Tennessee's really getting a great reputation. I was at my national conference last month in Phoenix, and when people would look at the name badge and see Murfreesboro and see Tennessee, I had more than a couple people say, there are some good things happening there. We continue to hear good news out of Tennessee. It's become a very desirable place to live, not just for jobs, but people wanting to move here. The climate's right. Taxes are low. It's just a good place to be.
And when people, and a lot of local people don't realize this, but there is a term, the metro statistical area, and that's what companies and investors look at as far as the shopping area. This area, Murfreesboro, is so dominant that the official name of the Nashville area used to be the Nashville, MSA. Now it's Nashville-Murfreesboro. Mm. It's not Nashville-Lebanon or Franklin, or it's Nashville-Murfreesboro.
We're growing up.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when you look, and this really impressed me because I was looking at the 4th District, 4th Congressional District, since we are now in the 4th, or will soon be in the 4th District as far as U.S. Congress goes. And trying to figure out how do we stand in that. There's, I think, 16 counties, and only two of them have large populations. We are the largest, but us and Bradley County both account for almost half of the total population, and we're about twice the size of Bradley County. So this is a major area. Mm-hmm. And I can see how when you go to these meetings, people look and say, hey, Murfreesboro, yeah, we're hearing good things out of that.
And you talked about the MSA. I oftentimes get asked, well, why doesn't Murfreesboro have a fill-in-the-blank, the name of the store, whether it's a Fresh Market or a Trader Joe's? And it's really that kind of statistical information where the retailers and even employers are looking at to see what is the level of education, what is the unemployment situation look like. They look at all the factors because they know what they need to be successful. And so as we continue to grow and diversify and improve, those are all the sorts of things that bring us new opportunities.
I guess everybody is watching the old Publix store, which has been several other stores there on Memorial and Northfield. That appears to be a good retail location, lots of traffic and everything. Is there still some interest in Trader Joe's and some of these other folks? Are they still looking at that? Or?
Well, I haven't heard them knocking on our door. I know that's one that I get asked about frequently. And that is a great store. I shopped there just a few weeks ago. And, you know, there's other stores that members of our community would love to see. And as we continue to grow, I think we'll see more and more of those opportunities. Certainly, if we look at the number of restaurants in our community, it's grown and evolved. And our retailers with stores like The Avenue, our shopping centers like The Avenue, we've seen new retailers take an interest in our city. They're typically going to be looking at, you know, number of households and population density and income. And all of that has risen and grown and given us new chances.
And, of course, being now the third fastest-growing job market in the nation, that has to, you know, get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that Murfreesboro government did, which was controversial when they did it, but it has turned out to be phenomenal for the community, that is creating the area where the Avenue is and all of that. How is that going now? You have quite a bit more land. I mean, we're not sold out, but you're being very careful as to who comes into the area. I mean, you're not just letting anybody build on the corners.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when we developed the Gateway project and saw, you know, the kind of investment, we knew it was going to bring new jobs to the city. And because we've got that project paid for, there's no more debt on the Gateway project. We're in a position where we can be patient and look for the right major employer to come here. So we've got two corporate headquarters sites, both about 30 acres, and we want to be very strategic about who that is sold to. If other folks come to the community, it may not be a good fit in terms of employment. There's plenty of other land in the Gateway that we'll pass them along to. You know, we're in a situation as the landowner where, unlike the private sector, we want to be very parochial about the decision. If it can't go on the city land, by all means, we want to give them other opportunities in the private sector to give them a chance to build their project here in Murfreesboro. We want them here.
And if you drive around that area, you will notice city signs saying this land for sale. Excellent location for a restaurant or a bank or a retail or whatever. So you really know what you want there.
Mm-hmm. And when we got into this project, it was to create that new layer to our economy. You know, we certainly have had a very long and proud industrial base, but we knew at the university here that there were opportunities for those knowledge-based jobs. And that's where the strategy is. That's where we're targeting that land for sale to a company that's going to bring those knowledge-based jobs here. And not necessarily an industrial one or a retail operation, which certainly is going to bring good sales tax. But after the city's long investment and interest in the Gateway project, we're really targeting those employment opportunities for the students who are coming out of the university, for other people who live here in the community who may commute to Nashville but would rather work here close at home.
Now, since you mentioned the university, let's talk a little about some of the things that are going on there as well. Obviously, if you drive over on the campus, I have never seen such growth, such construction that's going on right now around the rec center. Just
Union.
Exciting.
Student Union's building.
Finished. But you have other buildings coming up over there. I mean, not just coming up, they are there. They're the framework and everything is there.
Well, I think the university's over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years has done a phenomenal job about really creating a sense of place on campus. They've really worked hard at the look and the feel and those pedestrian type elements. You know, college campus is very pedestrian oriented. You're going to get on foot and walk to class. And the architecture and the landscaping and even the circle that they've got by the rec center where they brought the old columns in from the old state capitol that was here, all really great touches to give the campus a sense of place. And it looks fantastic. The investment that's happened there is wonderful.
The university seems to be on the cutting edge also, not only in buildings and what they're teaching, but in traffic flow, trying things that we're not using here in town, like the roundabouts. Do the traffic patterns at the university, are they used ever as sort of things that might work well in the city of Murfreesboro?
Yeah, you know, something like a roundabout, as someone who grew up in the Northeast, we had roundabouts all over the place. It was a very common way to manage traffic, and it can be very effective. They take a little while to get used to, and when you're not used to driving in a roundabout, if you travel somewhere that's got it, it can be a little bit confusing, but they can be very effective. Yep. So the university, I think, is using that the way we've not really used those in the city. There actually is one small roundabout in the Gateway over by the Physician Plaza buildings. There's a little roundabout on the back corner of Gateway Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
But it's not the same kind of roundabout we've seen in other parts of the country.
We were a few weeks ago in a place that had roundabouts everywhere. And after a day or two, I got used to it and started liking it and started thinking, wow, this would be neat on Broad for people who are wanting to go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Where right now, if you're in the center lane and you want to go the opposite direction, you suddenly stop the center lane, which is the fast lane.
Yeah.
So that would solve that. While we're talking about MTSU, there's a large piece of land where the hospital used to be that's empty. It's green space now. And word is that the two parties are at least talking about it.
Yeah, and that there couldn't be a better fit for that part of the community than MTSU. It's been an institutional use for a long time. To go, you know, and remain an institutional use with MTSU, I think would be a welcome fit for the neighborhood. Certainly the university is continuing to grow and need space. The parking garage there certainly could be helpful for a college campus. So there's, I think, a great, exciting opportunity.
And it's really not that far from the regular campus. I mean, campus school is part of the university.
Sure it is.
893-1450 is our number. We're talking about the city of Murfreesboro. And we're going to pause right now. And we're in the segment, about to be in the segment, where we open up the phone lines and your opportunity to call and talk with Rob Lyons, our Murfreesboro City Manager. Stay with us. Much more to come here on WGNS. We're focusing today on the city of Murfreesboro.
Lights up the shore for me. There is nothing else in the world. I'd rather wake up and see.
When the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Ford of Murfreesboro has just been named the number one Shelby Cobra dealership in the United States. Test drive the Shelby Cobra that has the all-new supercharged 5.8-liter V8. Ford of Murfreesboro was also named the number three dealer in the U.S. for selling the Mustang Roush. Come test drive and take home a new 540-horsepower Stage 3 Mustang from Roush today. Ford of Murfreesboro, your Roush and Cobra headquarters. On Broad at Northfield Boulevard and online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
For over 130 years, the family at Bell Jewelers have been making dreams come true. And all this month, you get a free pink leather Pandora bracelet honoring Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you spend $85 or more over at Bell Jewelers on Pandora charms and jewelry. That's right, just another way to say thank you for shopping at Bell Jewelers. 821 Northwest Broad, right across from Toots. That's October only at Bell Jewelers.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. One accident in the clearing stages, North Highland Boulevard at East Clark Boulevard, causing a bit of congestion in that area. Also, we picked up Old Fort Parkway at Chapin Place with lots of congestion. Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231 with lots of congestion for us. Get 20% off all paints, 10% off all floor finishing at Bradford Harbor Floors, 1999 Nolensville Pike. Call Jerry or Bobby Bradford at 251-5384 or go online to bradfordwoodfloorsandpaint.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have a wind advisory in effect across the forecast area. Partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-50s. Breezy west-northwest winds gusting in the mid-30s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 43.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
We got some good neighbors and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Put it in writing on WGNS. WGNS. AM, FM, online.
A message to New York City employees, your city needs you. The Big Apple is asking people whose city offices are open to go to work if they can get there safely or go help out at an emergency shelter. And it's starting to rain again. The subway here is shut down indefinitely. On the other side of the Hudson River, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
We obviously have a battered Jersey Shore. We have Newark and Jersey City without power, at least in large parts of both of those cities, because of flooding at the substations around the Newark Bay area. We have 2.4 million people without power across the state. This is a major disaster.
In Connecticut, this warning from Governor Dan Malloy after some sewage treatment plants backed up.
Suffice to say is in the immediate time being, no one should eat the clams or oysters.
And the bad weather reaches to Chicago. 20-foot waves reported on Lake Michigan and snow in 8 states. I'm Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
When severe weather strikes, we break in.
Meteorologist,
our meteorologist giving you an exclusive weather eye forecast on WGNS Murfreesboro.
I just can't deny you.
All through the day, 24 hours, we will be keeping you informed about what's happening with Hurricane Sandy and the people in that area. Man, I had not heard that about Chicago and those waves. Snow, even in parts of Tennessee, up around the Smoky Mountains and everything. 893-1450. If you have any questions or comments dealing with the city of Murfreesboro, give us a call. 893-1450. And as we had mentioned earlier, Amy Byers was on the radio earlier this morning from Murfreesboro Electric. Crews from Murfreesboro Electric are in the storm-devastated area. They left Saturday to head up there. Obviously, it's you don't want to head up there in the middle of the storm, so they wanted to get there beforehand, and so they are there, ready to help, and it sounds like they're going to need all the help they can get up there.
And no doubt about it. You know, it's always, we've appreciated help from outside agencies and other communities when we've had emergencies here, so it's really not a hard decision to send them elsewhere to help out, and it's the right thing to do. But the other thing that ends up happening out of that is that crew will end up learning something. They'll see a way they handled the emergency there. It becomes a training opportunity. It becomes more experience for them. So when they do come back home, they're better prepared.
And I will have to say, Rob Lyons has gotten firsthand experience in working with disasters. It was shortly after, I guess right before you took office, you were the assistant city manager, and we had that devastating tornado come through on Good Friday, which you did a phenomenal job. But you're able to relate to their needs even more.
Sure. And that's why having those crews from Murfreesboro Electric up in the tri-state area gives them an opportunity to train and to get better, because they'll come back here and we'll, at one point in time down the road, I'm sure, lose power, and this crew will be in a position to see how they handle things there and may have learned something.
Now, looking back here, when we had that devastating tornado, that basically ripped out the entire infrastructure along Thompson Lane, that whole area. Are we seeing, I mean, that was devastating, but are we seeing that kind of damage over all of those states? Is that?
Well, one of the things I think that can be different, and, you know, certainly there's parts of New Jersey that have been around a long time. I know the neighborhood I grew up in had overhead electric. We've got neighborhoods here in Murfreesboro that have overhead electric, but a lot of our newer development is with the underground utilities, and in a storm like that, those areas tend to do a whole lot better. Now, if the main feed gets knocked down, then everybody's out. But we've noticed that when you've got that underground electric, you stand a better chance of keeping electricity on. In the Northeast, there's a ton of overhead electric because those neighborhoods have been around for a long time. And so it doesn't surprise me that they've got such widespread power outages. It's because that overhead electric comes down when the wind gets up.
And are we getting more and more underground electric here in Murfreesboro, thus helping us to be a little safer during storms?
every bit of 20 years, we've required our new neighborhoods to be with underground electric. So, yes, that certainly helps.
Let's look at some of the inner city areas that are being reworked right now. The Manny Avenue project, half of that basically is finished. Is that area being transformed into underground?
Yeah, not only did we bury the electric on Manny Avenue, but the houses that were on Manny, we transitioned to underground electric to the house. They'd had an overhead feed, and so Murfreesboro Electric stepped up and helped financially to move that utility connection underground. With the CIP just approved by the City Council, we're going to continue the Manny Avenue project north to Oakland's Mansion. So we'll be doing the engineering now and right-of-way acquisition next year, and then construction in 2 years. So that work will continue. That street looks great. Certainly very proud of what happened there. The Manny Avenue area suffered some pretty bad drainage problems, and it was time to upgrade that street. So the investment that was made by the city, you know, we believe is going to spur some new economic development.
Looks and great.
Looks does great. Look great.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with City Manager Rob Lyons. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on?
You're on, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just listening how the city and economy in Russell County is really picking up, especially the Amazon plant out there. And then I look at the economy all over the country where it has fallen to 7.8. I don't know what it's going to be when the new findings come out, but it lets me know that things are really getting better. And yet it's still, when I hear these debates and stuff going on, they want to make me believe that ain't nothing moving, that the economy is getting worse and worse. But I see it's getting better and better. And the information that I just heard you give out, it's got a great future for the county of Rutherford County, and it looks good to me. And I think it's looking like that all over the country. So we might as well just go ahead and just admit that our president is really doing a great job, but we don't want to say that he is for reasons unknown to me. And I appreciate what you said this morning about the projects and the program that is being implemented in the Rutherford County. And thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great day. 893-1450 is our number, and you're on WGNS with Rob Lyons.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm not a campaign manager or anything, but I just want to first commend you on a lot of the tree service you're doing around here. I know a lot of people hate to see their trees get cut, but they shouldn't plant them under the wires to begin with, and unlike Nashville, y'all are going out and actually and removing the limbs and the trees or whatever it takes to keep the power going for all of us, and I appreciate that. But on the backside, too, is I hope we get another safety commissioner that can draw a straight line, and hopefully he can put a road where it needs to be and not just because it's favoring some business and, you know, routing the traffic. We need to, especially this lower end here, Cason Lane and several spots there, we need more than a roundabout. We really need a bridge, and especially Broad and Memorial. I thought we were going to get one, but sort of like they have at the Loop at the Nissan plant. And I'll hang up and listen to your thank you.
Thanks for calling. What about Broad and Memorial?
The Tennessee Department of Transportation, TDOT, is actively getting ready to bid that project next year. Right now, TDOT is sitting down and analyzing the traffic control plan. That'll be a project that takes every bit of 2 years to construct, BART. And so what the city has strongly urged TDOT to do is to study very carefully how they're going to route traffic around the construction. You know, I've said this before, but we oftentimes talk about a road project and we think about the road part of it. But really, the most complicated part of a road project is the utility relocations. And I always like to refer to these as utility relocation projects with a little bit of paving at the end, because the real work is to dig up the water, sewer, gas, electric, cable, telephone, all of those are buried, and everything runs through Broadden Memorial. So you've got some major infrastructure under the ground that's going to have to move back outside of where the pavement's going to go. And that's going to be the part that's going to take a lot of time. On top of that, then we've got to go and watch TDOT get vertical with the bridge. So they're working right now on developing the traffic control plan and should bid that project next year.
Any idea when the actual work might begin?
I'm not sure. I've got a date from TDOT, but my guess would be by this time next year they'd be under construction.
Okay. They've purchased, I don't know whether people realize this, they have purchased, and they did this several years ago, all of the land, the right-of-way land, for the bridge.
There's some $9 million that's already been spent on that project. It's not visible, but that is between the engineering and the right-of-way acquisition. I believe the figure is $9 million, and the construction of this will push $20 million. So it's quite a big project.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Rob Lyons.
Is that me, Bart?
That is you. Good morning.
Okay. Yeah, that's me. All right. I had a question about Rover. How are the fundings coming along for Rover? And also, I know every 5 years we're supposed to be getting new buses and lift and get with them finished up their first fifth year. And I was wondering about the new buses and if they've been ordered or going to be ordered anytime soon. And also the changes on some of the routes and what they're going to add and take away on what the routes that they got now. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Bart.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, great question. Certainly Rover's ridership has continued to climb. Dana Richardson and Nellie Patton, who lead and manage Rover, share information with the city council that just shows a trend line where Rover ridership continues to go up, which is certainly a great service in the community. Rover is funded about 75% from the federal government, and then a portion from the state, and then the city picks up about the final 10%. And out of the city's 10%, some of that comes from the fare box, and some of it comes from the general fund. But the majority of the funding for Rover comes from the federal government, with another piece from the state of Tennessee. The gentleman talked about the route changes in the buses. We recently did a survey to get input from the Rover ridership about changes that they wanted to see. And as a result of that feedback we had from our customers, we modified several of our routes. Most important change being we now go west of the interstate to the Social Security office on St. Andrews. And there was a desire from the riders to see that change. So that has been made. And new buses are on the way. We've used up the useful life of the buses that we have, and those are being purchased right now. So new buses on the way.
Are the new buses like the old buses, or is it a different style? Is it different?
It'll be a little bit larger, larger, and a little bit heavier duty. What we have had is something more akin to a church bus. And I think what we found is that the demand and the mileage and the hours that they're running, we needed something a little heavier duty. So, but it'll be the same style. It won't be a Nashville-sized bus. It'll be a little bit larger than what we've got, but not a passenger bus like you see in Nashville.
Any idea when the first one will be here?
I think they're out for bid right now.
Okay. So probably
another 2 months.
Okay. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Rob Lyons.
Yes. How you doing today?
Doing great.
Okay, just wanted to find out. You know, Northfield is a very busy road. Have there ever been any thought to continue Northfield from Broad on over? Because, you know, you're empty on Northfield, and you got to turn right or left, so you're putting the traffic back on Broad. And you have to go either down to Medical Center Parkway or Thompson Lane. And Murfreesboro is growing so much, so we're still empty in a lot of traffic on Broad Street. Have there ever been any study to continue Northfield on over, maybe toward, you know, Medicine on the Parkway now? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. That there was actually a project on the city's major thoroughfare plan 15 years ago that called for an extension of Northfield Boulevard. However, that project has now been deleted from the major thoroughfare plan after we constructed Medical Center Parkway. Part of the challenge on Northfield was you had to go over the railroad and the river. And looking at the land ownership and how it was going to intersect, and there was a landfill involved. Ultimately, we still needed to build a bridge over the railroad track and the river, but we did that with Medical Center Parkway because it was a little bit more constructible. But we're diverting the traffic both to Thompson Lane and Medical Center Parkway. But I understand the gentleman's concern.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with City Manager Rob Lyons.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I guess it was earlier in the year they had reapproved a Walmart, I guess, out on South Church and Joby Jackson. I guess it was approved 4 or 5 years ago and got put off because of the economy. And I was just wondering if that project is still in the works and if you could just get any information about it. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, that project is coming. The zoning was approved, as he indicated, and I think we've approved the site plan, so now it's a process of them getting the project out to bid and constructing it. So, yeah, that project should be underway here shortly.
And, of course, that whole area, along with Veterans Parkway, is moving along quite well. Veterans Parkway, I noticed now the city is saying that Barfield Crescent Park is on Veterans Parkway.
Mm-hmm. So the street was renamed.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Oh, fine, fine. This is the question that I have. Coming out of from Jennings and Air, to get across there, on going back towards town. Oh, it needs something to be done there because it took me a long time to get from out of there to get across where I can, come across the street to go. Is it any way at all to have some kind of signal or something to come out of there?
When the city puts a traffic signal up, we do so after it meets something called a warrant. And what the warrant is it's a combination of traffic count during the peak times, the turns that happen, rights, lefts, the number of crashes, the overall volume on the road. So there's a number of ingredients that go into analyzing whether or not a signal is warranted. Obviously, on a major road like South Church Street, we want to keep the traffic flowing, and a traffic signal causes traffic to stop. So you need to have a good balance of stopping the traffic and making sure it's safe for the motorists. There at Jennings and Ayers, I seriously doubt it's going to meet the warrants, even though it can be difficult to get out. There's just some locations in our community where making a left-hand turn during a busy traffic time just isn't a good idea. I know as a driver and the father to a 17-year-old driver, sometimes you need to turn right and find another opportunity to get across traffic or to go around the block. So I've been at Jennings and Ayers. It can be difficult to get out of there, but sometimes we just have to go a little bit out of our way to make sure we stay safe.
In fact, I'm noticing that a lot of the major people who are in the transportation businesses are making all of their vehicles do left only. Mm-hmm. Or a right only. I guess. Yeah, right only.
Sometimes you just have to go a little further out of your way because there's just not an easy way to get out. And we can't put a traffic signal at every intersection or we'd really be locked down.
893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. City Manager Rob Lyons is our guest this morning. 893-1450. All the lines are full. If you're on the line, hold on. You are coming up next. Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
Good morning to our friends at Coldwell Banker Barnes Auctioneers. Ralph McKee and J.D. Kite invite you to this Saturday's auction over in Christiana for Ben and Ruth Hilliard. It's located at 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana. Circle this time, 10 o'clock Saturday. This Saturday, 10 o'clock. Two homes, a 36 by 64 metal shop, and over 20 acres. Farm equipment, shop tools, all of this will be sold as the Hilliards downsize. This is an auction you don't want to miss. It's this Saturday. This Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. Farm equipment sales at 11:30, and the land sale is at noon this Saturday. 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana. For more information, visit ColdwellBankersAuction.com, ColdwellBankersAuctions.com, or call 893-1130. That's ColdwellBankerAuctions.com or 893-1140. Coldwell Banker Barnes, the firm number 4419. Good morning to you from WGNS, your station that keeps you informed.
I happened to glance up, and the clear sky was gone.
Coast to coast, all night, every night.
All I could see was something round and black.
On WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
We have a wind advisory in effect across the forecast area. Partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-50s. Breezy west-northwest winds gusting in the mid-30s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 43.
Hurricane Sandy still dumping rain and snow. Gusty winds the northeast, but damage assessment beginning in the hardest-hit areas like New York City and the New Jersey shore.
Here in Point Pleasant, flood debris litters the streets with power lines and parts of trees strewn about. The beach itself here is underwater, and there's no telling yet what kind of damage the storm has done to this town's boardwalk or to the popular amusement park with a Ferris wheel.
ABC Stephen Portnoy on the Jersey coast. Number of water rescues ongoing. Bergen County, New Jersey, where a levee broke during the night. In Queens, a fire burned around 50 homes. Death tolls so far at least 17. That's certain to rise. More than 6 million people without power.
We don't know how long we're going to be blacked out and the method of finding out, because I'm running out of cell phone batteries.
Could be at least a week till all power is restored. The New York and D.C. subways shut down, so are most schools. Many roads remain impassable. Doug Limerick, ABC News.
If you need a bedroom set, come to Bell Furniture. Perhaps you're looking for a sleeper sofa, a recliner, or sectional sofa. They're half price at Bell Furniture. Beautiful leather recliners and lift chairs. First quality, name brand furniture, half price every day with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And it's all American made.
He's Rutherford County's consumer warrior.
This is the real deal.
Mark Howard, weekdays noon to 2 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
We're focusing on Murfreesboro. Our city manager, Rob Lyons, is with us today. We have just about 4 minutes left in the program. So if you have a question for Rob, 893-1450. And we need to get an update on the situation with the Murfreesboro Airport. I know it was voted down, the proposal to expand the runway. At the last city council meeting, there have been some additional meetings, public information meetings. How is that going?
Okay, at the council meeting 2 weeks ago, city council approved a document called an airport layout plan. That's a master plan for the airport, and we're required to have one. We've had one for years. And every 5 years, we're required by the FAA to update that. And so through the course of discussions and compromise and neighborhood meetings, the city council voted to extend the runway in that airport layout plan to 4,750 feet, which was less than the 5,000 that was originally discussed. And so that doesn't mean the runway's built just yet. It just means the master plan allows a length of 4,750 feet. And then at some point down the road, the city council would consider a recommendation to actually construct that.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Rob Lyons.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard earlier about the Walmart going in on South Church Street.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a while they were planning on putting one on Memorial out just, north of the Kroger Shopping Center, Iron Gate. Is that one still in the plan? I can't believe Murfreesboro's got to the point where we need three Walmart supercenters.
What about that?
Yeah, there had been a site plan submitted for a Walmart at just south of the post office. However, that did not happen, obviously. And while there's been, I guess, some discussions about any future expansions of another Walmart in Murfreesboro, nothing's been submitted to the city. So at this point.
Oh, okay, so the out on South Church Street's not going to be another Walmart?
No, sir, there will be a Walmart. That's what the site plan shows on South Church Street and County Farm Road is a new Walmart. On the north side, I think there's been some speculation that there might be another big box there, but the city's not received any site plans that I'm aware of.
Okay. I just can't believe we've grown to need three super centers. Are they planning on closing either of the other ones?
I don't know.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'd just like to see if I could ask a favor from Rhonda. I know TDOT may be responsible, but it's in the city limits right out by the old Blackman Fire Department that's closed down. I think the little road there is Shortcut Road. We've had a dip out there for 3 or 4 years probably. And I called Chris Brecher about it and never got a response. And I just wondered if you might could get TDOT or someone to look and see if we need a tile or whatever it is, because eventually it's going to be a sinkhole. We just had one out here at Veterans a couple of weeks ago that just, caved in a large area. So we either take a little preventive maintenance or we're going to pay for it big time later.
So the pothole's on Shortcut Road?
No, sir, it's on the main four lane. It's 96, I guess, there until you get up to the Baptist Church, but it's right at the old Blackman Fire Department and the little dry branch that runs there.
Okay, I'm with you now. We'll look into that.
Okay, thank you for calling. And on that note, we want to say thank you to Rob Lyons for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Rob, thanks again. Thank you for all you do for the city. Rob Lyons, the city manager of Murfreesboro, visiting with us today. Tomorrow at this time, Rutherford County Mayor Ernest Burgess will be with us. You have a super rest of the day. Don't forget, we'll be updating you on Hurricane Sandy throughout the day. And remember, this weekend is when we go back to regular time. That's right, when you go to bed Saturday night, set your clock back 1 hour.
I see your face.